Will SpaceX eventually consume NASA? Are there asteroids at the Lagrange points in front and behind the Earth? Can we track the Space Force's secret X-37B shuttle? Plus, in our extended version on Patreon, how astronomers find new asteroids in old data. Answering all these questions and more in this question show. It's time for the question show. Your questions, my answers, as always, wherever you are. Across my channel, if a question pops in your brain, just write it down. I'll gather them up and I will answer them here. All right. Let's get into the questions. Music cassette. Does Earth have Trojans? In other words, are there asteroids at the Earth, Sun, L4, and L5? Yes. The Earth has Trojan asteroids at its L4 and L5 Lagrange points. So for those of you who don't know what a Lagrange point is, when you have two masses and one mass is 25 times or more compared to the other mass, so in other words, the Sun compared to the Earth compared to the Moon, then you get five places where a test particle, in other words, something with zero mass, will experience a balance of gravity. And so it won't drift in any specific direction away from this location. That is the sort of the textbook version of the Lagrange points. And there are five of these spots for every two body interaction. So there's the ones, three that are lined up between, say, the Sun and the Earth, one on the far side of the Sun, one between us and the Sun, one on the far side of the Earth. And then there are two ahead and behind of the Earth in its orbit. And those ones ahead and behind, those are the L4 points. While the ones that are lined up, they are gravitationally unstable. The ones that are ahead and behind the Earth, or Jupiter, or whatever, they are gravitationally stable. In other words, that if you drop your test mass, this particle, into this region, it will remain orbiting around inside this region. And so what that does is that tends to collect debris, garbage, asteroids, comets, spacecraft, and so on. That if you moved into this Lagrange region, then you can, at a slow enough velocity, and if you go into some kind of three-body interaction or some further gravitational perturbation from Jupiter or whatever, then you can be trapped inside of this region and you just start orbiting around inside of it, while at the same time, this whole region is orbiting around the Sun in front of the Earth and behind the Earth, or in front of Jupiter or behind Jupiter. And so astronomers call this garbage asteroids. Should I call asteroids garbage? Sure, why not? Call this stuff the Trojan regions. And so Jupiter has its L4, L5 Trojan points. And one sort of big surprise is that the combined mass of all of the objects in the Jupiter's Trojan belt matches the amount that's in the main belt of the asteroid belt. So there's a lot of stuff that gets caught in these regions. And this is where NASA's Lucy mission is going. It's going to be visiting one of the Trojan belts, and then come back and then go visit the other Trojan belt. But there are Trojan regions around every single planet. There are Trojan asteroids have been found around Mars in its L4, L5 point. They've been found at Saturn. They've been found from Venus outward. But the size of the object that can remain in that Trojan area get smaller depending on the mass of the secondary object. In other words, Jupiter is very massive. And so Jupiter can have very large Trojan objects. They can be hundreds of kilometers across. Earth is much smaller. Earth has much less mass. And so the size of the objects that get trapped in Earth's Trojan belt are significantly smaller. They are in the order of tens of meters. They're definitely, kilometer at the most, I think. They're definitely not hundreds of kilometers the way they are with Jupiter. But are there asteroids at our Trojan belt? Absolutely. Horizon, Phoenix Warp Brave. Do you fear that Musk will try to fold all of NASA into SpaceX? All right. So do I fear that? No. What I fear is the administration making changes to NASA without the approval of Congress as what is required by law, and Congress being unwilling to stand up for their own job, being the people who create the laws in the United States, and the Supreme Court failing to enforce the law. So that's you know, that's what I'm nervous about. And if that series of event happens, then who, like, it's all cuckoo banana land, right? Like, then the administration can do whatever they want. They can shut down NASA. They can give all the parts to SpaceX. They can do whatever they want. So there is the law in the United States, which defines the budget that's given to NASA, that defines the kinds of goals and work that NASA is supposed to do. The Artemis mission, the Space Launch System, these are all in the law. The various missions that are upcoming, these are all part of the law that Congress sat and voted, and they put out a budget and defined that this was going to happen. And what we're seeing is an administration that is testing whether or not laws matter in the United States. And it's quite peculiar. It's quite bizarre to watch this happen because, you know, my understanding is that you're supposed to follow laws. And that's a thing that the United States is quite fond of. They have the Constitution, they have these documents, they've set out very clearly how this is supposed to work, and you're watching this potentially not work. So there's kind of two paths. One path, and that, like, I'm just going to disregard it because I can't wrap my mind around it. And that is that Elon Musk and the administration, they just decide what happens. They take apart NASA. You know, laws don't matter. Who cares? We're living in a topsy-turvy world. If that happens, then the dissolution of NASA is like the least of the concerns that anyone is going to have, right? Like, there's all kinds of other problems where laws are no longer being followed, where, you know, you have to be concerned about that. So then you've if laws are followed, so the way you can imagine things happening with NASA is that Congress, you know, is going to come up with with recommendations from the current administration, from Elon Musk, from other people. They're going to come up with a new set of laws that define what NASA is going to do. And so you can imagine them on the more extreme side, dissolving NASA, right? Like, just shutting it down. They're going like, well, you've got SpaceX. So I don't think you can imagine them folding NASA into SpaceX. You can imagine them just dissolving NASA. And then any future space exploration that is required by the US government is just done through private contractors, be it Blue Origin, be it SpaceX, be it Firefly Aerospace, all of that kind of stuff, right? You just privatize space exploration entirely, but you still set aside budget. And we see a hybrid version of that right now. Like, right now, when NASA wants to send astronauts to the International Space Station, they pay for a commercial flight on a SpaceX Crew Dragon, and they pay $60 million per seat, and they don't have to worry about building the rocket and maintaining the rocket and all of that kind of stuff. So there are places where it makes total sense to pay for a commercial provider to deliver the results of what you're looking for. And my guess is there's like a whole bunch of the stuff that NASA does today that could theoretically be privatized, outsourced, whatever, right? But then there's like a whole other part that NASA does that no commercial company would want to do, and that is research. That is taking risks on the kinds of things that no existing company, corporation, research group can afford to do. Testing out new kinds of propellant systems, new construction methods, determining how safe it is for us to go to space. You know, there are thousands of really interesting research projects that are done every year by NASA where nobody is asking themselves, does this make money? They're asking themselves, can we learn how to do this? Does this tell us something about the nature of the universe? Does this tell us something about how to live and work in space? Does this tell us something about the nature of our planet, about our atmosphere, about all this kind of stuff? Basic scientific research. And it is, you know, for some of it, if there is a money to be made in pharmaceuticals and various kinds of health therapies and things like that, you can imagine you can privatize that, like companies, giant pharmaceutical manufacturers will do research to figure out ways to produce new kinds of medicine. But there's a whole range of scientific discovery that's just not done, right? What is the return on investment for studying supernova? What is the return on investment? Like, there isn't. But at the same time, you know, as a society, we want to be able to do scientific progress. And so I can imagine a version where they privatize NASA or shut it down, but then they set up a completely separate, very functional, very streamlined research organization. Its only job is to research interesting and important new technologies, to push human knowledge forward, to help lay the groundwork for us to be able to become a true spacefaring civilization. And that all sounds really exciting. So as long as that happens, then I think someone could very carefully with a scalpel reduce the, you know, some of the projects that NASA is working on and not end up being a disaster. But it doesn't feel like that's the direction that it's going right now. If you're seeing what's happening across various other parts of the, you know, of the government, of the bureaucracy, it's very much a machete. And so I'm assuming that when it becomes NASA's turn, then it will be the same kind of thing. And, you know, it's, you know, when you have people who are researching something very complicated, they've got funds, they're expecting, there's hardware they're depending on, and you just shut all that down, then they have to go look for a new job. And then the whole research just ends. So, you know, do I fear that Musk will try to fold all of NASA into SpaceX? No, I don't think so. Like, what I fear is them doing a clumsy job of attempting to shut down NASA. When I interview the patrons, which is a thing that I do when new people join my Patreon, the feedback that I get is that people really like the question show. Well, if you like question shows, have all the question shows you can eat. And that is with our monthly patron-only question show. This is where my producer Anton and I will go through all of your patron questions. And I've got a little more time. I can do some research and we go in depth and it's great. And we get to all of the questions. So if that's interesting to you, definitely join Patreon and ask a question. Now, to celebrate the recent newcomers, we've got Nick Augustin, SG, Jerry Harris, Paul Hunt, Watts Wire Extension Cords, and Dave Swenson. Join the club at patreon.com/universetoday. Mad Monkey Oz, what is the impact on the Canadian Space Agency due to the goings-on with your southern neighbors? We have no idea right now. So Jared Isaacman hasn't been brought on board, hasn't been officially confirmed as the NASA administrator yet. Although, I mean, when you see the other nominations that have flown through the Senate, I can't imagine that he will have a problem getting confirmed by the Senate. And then we don't know. And it's funny because, I mean, we've been seeing a lot of cuts to NASA. You're seeing a lot of changes to the website. You're seeing a lot of contractors, people are being laid off, shut down. A lot of grants are being frozen. And so that's having an impact across a lot of stuff, but we haven't seen the big ones happen yet, right? We haven't heard of a cancellation of the Space Launch System. We haven't heard of, you know, a change from going to the moon to going to Mars, that kind of thing. You know, Canada's involvement, we built one of the instruments for the James Webb Space Telescope. We supply the robotic arms for the various space shuttles and for the International Space Station. We'll probably be providing the arm for the upcoming Lunar Gateway. There's a lunar rover that has been developed by Canada. And I think sort of like the, you know, and then we have a handful of astronauts that are active in the astronaut corps. And sort of one of the big prominent missions for a Canadian coming up is Artemis 2. This is where they're going to do this flyby around the moon. And so there's a Canadian astronaut that is going to be on that flight if it happens. There's been like just so much news that's been breaking about the impact of the new administration on science in general, about the various new regulations, the kinds of work stoppages that have been happening, the changes to the amount of overhead expenses that people are able to charge for. Like, it's been across the board. But we haven't seen much so far that we've needed to report on for space exploration specifically. Nothing's really gotten cut. So maybe we're gonna wait for Jared Isaacman to come in and then he'll start implementing the various changes that are in the works, or maybe it's just gonna be steady as she goes, or just gonna keep going with whatever were the plans beforehand. You know, it's very hard to stop spacecraft they're mid-construction. So, yeah. But so right now, we haven't heard any impact in how it's going to affect the Canadian Space Agency yet. But, you know, as soon as, like, I'm waiting for various impacts to happen, and then we're going to report the hell out of them. JB Grooves, does the astronomical community track the Space Force space shuttle? Sort of. So what you're talking about is the X-37B, and this is a space plane that was originally developed by the Air Force, is now handled by Space Force. And every couple of years, the Space Force launches the X-37 into low Earth orbit. It spends a year plus, 2 years in orbit around the Earth, and then it re-enters the atmosphere, lands, and then whatever purpose it had has now been complete. And, you know, we don't know exactly what the X-37B does. It's classified. But when you think about what you could do in that kind of a mission, it sort of constrains your possibilities, which is, you know, and also NASA has had experiments on the X-37B, and they've talked about those experiments. And so you get a sense of, like, what NASA is doing is probably what Space Force is doing. They are testing electronics in space. They are deploying different instruments to find out how well they work. They're trying out different kinds of materials, exposing them to the vacuum of space for a long period of time to find out how well they behave. And so you can imagine, you know, if Space Force is going to develop new camera systems, new materials, new things like that for their upcoming super scary secret spy satellites, they're going to want to make sure these things work in space. And this is the way that they can launch these things to space, try them out for a couple of months in space, and then bring them back to Earth and see how they did. But can you track the position of the X-37B? And the answer is absolutely. It's really hard to hide an object in low Earth orbit. Now, NORAD, the US Space Force, and other groups are tracking all of the various objects in space, and they do classify the positions of a lot of their objects. And so they're not in the public databases, but there are other databases that you can find some of these things. But then there are private companies. Leo Labs is a good example, and they are tracking the location and position of pieces of space junk that are a few centimeters across. And so they can absolutely track the position of something like the X-37B. And you can imagine that various other nations, the Chinese, the Russians, others, totally know what is the current position of the X-37. In fact, we've seen examples where the Chinese version of the X-37 or other satellites or ones done by Russia have changed their orbits. And so it's possible that various nations are working on satellites that can do things. They can loiter, they can catch up to and try to observe more closely other satellites from other nations. But, you know, once you launch these things into orbit, they're relatively easy to catch. Like, I'm sure you can go outside, if you know where to look, you can watch the X-37B fly overhead with your own eyes. We've got a longer version of this show with one additional question over on Patreon. So if you want to watch it with no ads, totally free, click the card or in the show notes. All right, those are all the questions that we had this week. Thank you, everyone, who joined me live for the question show. We record this every Monday at 5 p.m. at some place or time in the world. And so you can join that show and ask your questions, as well as the questions for people who put into the YouTube comments. I really appreciate it. Super fun. All right, I'm going to chat about my shelf, but not myself, but first, I'd like to thank our patrons. Thanks to Abe Kingston, Barely Griffin, David Giltinan, David Matz, Dustin Cable, Greg Feely, Hudson Ward, James Clark, Jeremy Madden, Jim Burke, Jordan Young, Josh Schultz, Michael Purcell, Paul Rohrbach, Sean Sargent, Spiderswap.io, Stephen Fandler-Melny, Thomas L. Skadron, and Vlad Chaplin, who support us at the Master of the Universe level. And all our patrons, all your support means the universe to us. So for the last couple of weeks on the question, Joe, people have been asking me, what's on the shelf behind me? There's all these little knickknacks and gewgaws, and what are they? And so I've been picking one item each week and bringing that. And there might have been one in a recent question show, but a lot of them are in the overtime segments or during the live stream. But we'll see how many of them actually make it out. But I thought I would share one. And so this is a globe of the sky, all of the constellations. This was actually sent to me by Mova Globes about 10 years ago, and they asked me if I wanted one, and I told them absolutely, yes, please, and asked me which one I wanted, and I wanted the one that was the celestial sky. And so this gives you all of the constellations, shows you the Milky Way, and yet this thing sort of spins around inside this little plastic sphere. Now, this is not sponsored, except they gave me one, but I just think it is a genuinely really cool thing. So this is one of the things that is on the shelf behind me. All right, we'll see you next week.